6 o'clock, we have a quorum, I believe. All right, so we'll go ahead and call the meeting in order. First on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so carried. Next is approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
There a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next up is wildlife management update.
Wildlife management update. We have 5 deer on the airport. Surprised me when we saw them, or when I saw them. There were 7, but 2 of them have been removed from the airport. We do have, the county does have a depredation permit exclusive for airport property with certain individuals who are permitted under the permit to be able to remove deer through whatever means are necessary. Those individuals have been notified and are in the process of hopefully reducing that herd down to 0. But I thought for the longest time all the deer were off the airport, and then one day I saw 5 of them running across the runway.
That happens.
Yeah. So, you know, that's all I can say about wildlife hazard management. I mean, as far as bird activity, you know, we've kept up on that with the pyrotechnics that we have. Haven't had a bird strike, a significant bird strike, since the Cessna citation about this time last year ran through 32 seagulls that were on the runway. But other than that, we're staying on top of it, and we'll get that deer herd removed. It may take a little bit of time, but we'll get them off the airport.
In years past, the county has made significant effort really to close up the gaps where they were coming in, and the ditches,
yes,
and so forth.
That's, yes,
is there,
yes,
any effort to identify openings again?
Yep, or? Yep. In fact, I found two gaps in the perimeter fence where somebody had clearly come in there.
Oh,
and
really?
Cut the fence. Mm. And they were all in that southwest corner, on the approach to runway 10, in that grass area out there. The way that the fence was cut and the way the deer stands are positioned on the other side of the fence, I would suspect that somebody shot something inside the perimeter fence, and it was the only way that they were going to be able to get it off the airport. Hmm. So those two gaps in the fence have been repaired. I don't know. Now, I did see one deer actually walk through that gap, and that was what actually brought my attention to the 5 that we had on the airport. So those gaps have been closed. You know, we'll continue from there. So.
Any other questions on that? Okay, airport update.
All right, airport update. And Brian, can I ask you to hit the lights for me over there? As I've often mentioned before, I'm a very visual person. It's easier for me to include pictures when I talk about airport projects than it is to try to verbally describe a picture for you. And I want to talk about the parallel taxiway Bravo project, because we just recently accepted an FAA grant offer in the amount of $3.4 million to begin construction of this multi-phased, multi-grant, multi-year taxiway construction project. FAA told us to expect no more than $3 million a year in combined FAA Airport Improvement Program entitlement monies, which guarantee us $150,000 a year in AIP funding and no more than $3 million a year in discretionary funding. This total project, and it's the construction of an FAA-compliant full-length parallel taxiway for our primary runway, and I'll talk a little bit about why it's designated compliant. The first grant that we accepted in 2023 paid for the design of the middle half of the runway. The grant that we just accepted in 2024 is going to pay for the construction of what's called phase two of the overall project, but phase one of construction. A contractor has already been identified for the project through a competitive bid. Because of the delay in the FAA issuing us the grant, we're not going to be able to start construction in 2024. The contractor just simply doesn't have the materials yet. They don't have the means to be able to mobilize. And to be honest, the contract between Sussex County and the contractor hasn't even been signed yet. So construction on this phase of the new taxiway Bravo is scheduled to begin in 2025. We figure this time next year we'll get a third FAA grant that will construct phase three of the project. I'll talk a little bit about that later. Then the FAA required that we break the design phase of this overall project into two separate projects. It probably won't be until 2006, maybe 2007, when we'll design the final half of this project. And then just like we had to break construction of this half into two grants, two phases, we'll have to do the same thing with what will actually be phase five and phase six. Those are obviously marked incorrectly. The project's designed in compliance with FAA standards and guidelines, and I think I've mentioned this before. If you accept FAA airport improvement funding for the construction of a project, compliance to FAA advisory circulars are mandatory. The project is again going to focus on the construction of a new taxiway. We're calling it Bravo for right now. That designation may change. It's the area between taxiway Bravo, the terminal building, the main terminal apron, and taxiway hotel. There will be periodic closings of intersections, but never two intersections at the same time. There's also going to be some drainage work that's going to occur on the project, which is also going to close for a short period of time this portion of our existing taxiway Alpha. Contract time is 202 days to complete this first phase of construction, essentially a 7-month project. So if we can get this project started, groundbreaking in March of 2025, hopefully we'll be completed by October, no later than November of next year. In addition to the construction of the taxiway itself, there is a lot of drainage work that's also associated with this first phase of construction. And all this drainage work is necessary to meet the requirements of the entire project. In fact, this first phase of construction is the most expensive phase of all the six phases of the project. Minimum requirement established by FAA for the width of our new taxiway is only 35 feet, and I'll talk about that in a little bit also. 50-foot wide taxiways at general aviation airports are no longer the FAA standard. They've shrunk those to 35 feet wide with proper fillets at the intersections that are supposed to allow an aircraft to be able to taxi on the nose gear on the center line while still keeping the main gears on pavement. And why is our taxiway only 35 feet wide? Well, you have to go back to the Airport Design Advisory Circular, know the definition of a taxiway design group, and it's the combination of the outer to outer main gear width and the cockpit to main gear distance. In fact, the FAA actually provides a lovely 6-minute video that describes all this. And basically what you need to know to determine the width of the runway is, again, the width of the main gears and the distance from the cockpit to the main gear. You take those two numbers, and on a Gulfstream G600, cockpit to main gear distance is 46 feet, main gear to main gear width is 16 feet. Get on the little chart right here that's in the advisory circular, and it identifies the taxiway design group that is the requirement for taxiway widths at your airport. In fact, the FAA even includes an aircraft characteristics data sheet that does all this work for you, and all you have to do is look up the airplane and then look and see what the taxiway design group is. Go back to the advisory circular, match that number with what the width is for the taxiway, and that's where the 35 feet comes. Could we go 50 feet wide? Sure. But the FAA is only going to pay for 35 feet. The county would have to pay the difference in cost, and right now, this project is a $13 million project. In fact, the county's 10% share for this project is going to be $1.3 million, so that's a chunk of change. We would probably be looking at another $4 to $5 million on top of that if the county wanted to maintain a 50-foot wide taxiway.
Any contributions from the state on this project?
No, because from what I've been told, Rick, state wage requirements are so high that it would come close to doubling the cost of the project. That's why Sussex County hasn't used Delaware Department of Transportation Aviation Administration funding for any of the projects for quite some time. So that's what we're looking at. So, you know, Jill Biden's Gulfstream is more than capable, according to FAA design standards, of being able to operate on a 35-foot wide taxiway.
Are the planes that go in for renovation down the airstrip here?
Down at Aloft?
Yes.
No.
They go up and down the runway.
They'll continue to back taxi, just like Larry said. Yep. Yep. We don't have the volume of 737 traffic that would dictate a 50-foot wide runway. And again, that comes to a criteria that the FAA sets, just like the runway extension, where you have to exceed a certain number of minimum operations a year in order to be able to bump up to a larger taxiway.
And where's the B-25 on your chart?
Good question, Larry. In fact, to be honest with you, I didn't even look at it because I didn't even look to see if that's on there because...
My gear's wider than a Gulfstream.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the cockpit, the nose gear, I'm sitting on top of my nose gear.
Yeah.
So I can turn.
Yeah.
I was operating last weekend off of a 25-foot wide taxiway, and that was a challenge.
Wow. Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I bet.
When we do get Bravos in, and that's a design group 3. I don't know how many, though.
Yeah. The design group, taxiway design group 3?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. What's the width of those? 50 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. So you have to have a significant bump up. In fact, there's 737 aircraft that fall in the 2B taxiway design group. So that's basically it. Now, talking about a compliant taxiway, the current taxiway that we have, FAA has deemed is non-compliant because this is essentially our primary taxiway for our current primary taxiway for our runway 422, because we have aircraft parking aprons on the opposite side of the taxiway from the terminal building and from where the general public would have to access from the terminal building off airport. They would have to cross the primary taxiway. That's an FAA safety issue. What they want is to move the primary taxiway on the opposite side of these aircraft parking aprons to create, ultimately, this setup right here.
Over there where the drainage is getting, by the run-up area,
yep.
or is that going to remain, or is that getting removed entirely? You had it black in the drawing.
Yeah.
Right there.
Right here.
I know you're doing drainage over there, but is that getting replaced?
Yes. This thing isn't working. Yes, that's going to be replaced. In fact, we're going to include likely run-up pad, which is now the new FAA design standard also, similar to what we have on the, or are proposing on the approach of 2-2. The reason why the run-up pad isn't being shown on the runway 4 side was because everybody was all excited about the runway extension coming, and on the airport master plan, it shows a similar run-up pad at the approach end, the extended runway end of runway 4. So we'll have to go to the FAA, get a revision to our FAA-approved airport layout plan, and just basically draw one of those at the other end.
And the existing taxiways are going to remain other than the one by the new ramp?
Right. The existing taxiway alpha will remain, with the exception of where, in the long term, we're going to remove the pavement ends. This will be redesignated as a taxi lane, because you can't have two taxiways at a general aviation airport supporting just one runway. So they'll remain. This taxiway will remain, and I think this last photo actually kind of shows, and it may be difficult to see, but the center line will just basically shoot right across.
Without
having to take that dog leg.
My question was if any of the existing exits off 422 are going to remain.
No.
Because they're 50 feet, and they're 50 feet today, and they go right to the existing taxiway.
Yep.
So in the event of, for example, getting a Bravo, if a Citation Bravo lands, they would have at least one taxiway to exit.
Oh yeah. We'll examine that also. If I remember correctly, I think the taxi, and for that very purpose, and the fact that we do have 737 traffic here, if I remember correctly, the taxiways or taxi, the intersections at the end of each runway are going to remain 50 feet. Yeah.
All the way to the old taxiway?
No. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But when it comes time for us to have to do renovation on these existing taxiways, which will become taxi lanes, the new FAA standard goes into effect, and it'll be reduced to 35 feet unless county is willing to pick up the difference. And that's going to be a long time from now. Because again, this is a 6-year project.
Yeah.
We don't expect total construction of this thing to be completed until, if we're having to push construction back a year after accepting the grant in the late part of the fiscal year, construction of the final phase probably won't begin until 2029. We may not be done with this project until 2030.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Where are they moving the weather station to? Is that green circle I saw in there?
Interesting you mentioned that, Rick. Yes. The wind sock.
That's what I was going to ask.
The wind socks and the wind tee are going to be relocated. The wind tee is going to be refurbished.
I was going to say, you move that thing, it's going to fall apart.
Yeah. That's going to be relocated. And this is not, and this is no, and where you see it right now is no longer the correct locations. The wind tee and the windsock will be relocated in this island right here. And then ultimately, when construction will one day begin on the on extending the parking apron, the ASOS will be relocated to the same island. But that's not going to be for a long time. We've got other higher priority projects on our FAA capital improvement plan that have a higher priority than this.
How do we get that thing to better reflect what the real weather is?
I'm sorry?
Just a couple weeks ago, I was out here one day, bright sun, sunglasses on, not a cloud to be seen, and it was reporting light rain.
There's been other problems with it too, so I don't know if we can get them in here to calibrate
the
thing.
The other day it was reporting clear, and we came in, had to file with Dover to do an IFR approach to get in.
How do we fix it? We delayed a lot of flights in the mornings.
Where
I always look at everybody else around and then draw my own conclusions and call Salisbury and
we'll call him back. He's usually here early, and he'll be like, "No, it's clear."
We've got a phone number to the maintenance crew on that thing. That's not something that's owned, operated, or maintained by Sussex County. That's definitely a National Weather Service
contractor. But still, it is a little frustrating.
Oh yeah. So that's all I've got on the taxiway. And of course, as construction begins and prior to construction, we'll send out the emails to everybody. We'll have the maps that are going to be drawn out. There will be a period when we do have to do some drainage work that's going to be associated with phase C1 of the project that falls all within the runway safety area to the primary runway. We're going to have to reduce operations on this runway by aircraft type without prior approval from the airport manager. That's how the NOTAM is going to be issued. So if the Gulfstream needs to depart or is coming in for a landing, and we've got the NOTAM limiting operations on this runway without prior airport manager approval, just tell me. So I can tell the contractor, and they're not surprised when the guys are working within with heavy equipment or whatever within the safety area. That's it.
Okay. Any other questions for Bob?
And ground control light. Great.
All right. Next up is Wings and Wheels update. Larry?
Lynn, do you want to do that?
We do.
I was just distributing to Linda. Rick, I got a copy for you too. I took your worksheet that you had done, and we've been sitting down there, Ron and I, for the last couple of hours, and we were updating some things in there, so it's getting to be pretty extensive. Mm-hmm. Sequence what all has to be done and who's doing it and all that kind of stuff.
We're a week and a half away. Weather, I know it's too early to tell, but weather right now is looking to be very decent, which means an influx of people. but things are coming along really well. Thanks to Ron's help. Our Pathways to Aviation program on Friday morning is going to have about 110 high school and middle school kids for the first time, so we're really excited about that. Our tickets are on sale for our Friday night event, which is just a fun event to come out and have some great food and entertainment. Saturday, circle back. So the National Guard is bringing their C-130. They will be in here Friday at 3:30. The Black Hawk is coming in for the Pathways program, and then it'll leave, and then it'll come back on Saturday morning. The U.S. Naval Academy team, parachute team, has been confirmed, and there a couple will come in on Friday night, and then they'll jump all day Saturday. Weather permitting, they'll start at 10 o'clock with our opening ceremonies. So we're doing the national anthem by one of the Georgetown police officers, presentation of colors by Sussex Central ROTC, and then the first jump from the Naval Academy with the American flag. And then we are We're very lucky on Friday for our speakers. We have the base commander from Dover will be speaking, as well as thanks to Larry and Ron and Bill Rozick, that Kirk Leopold, he was the commander of the USS Cole at the time of the attack in 2000. So he will be one of the speakers with the kids. And then we have a couple of other speakers, our corporate pilot Pete that went volunteering with the museum and has been through the pilot command program through the museum. He will be there, as well as a woman by the name of Sarah, who's also a pilot, and we're hoping that she speaks to the women that are, the young girls that are in the room and kind of help. So we have about 11 aviation-related vendors and schools on Friday. Again, event day is shaping up really, really well. The Delaware State Police helicopter will be out there, as well as a number of, we have a National Guardsman who built an experimental aircraft that he's bringing it for the first time. EAA will have an experimental aircraft out there. Vendor-wise, we have probably about 64, 65 vendors between food and craft and information profits. So it's shaping up to be a really, really nice event that we always try to put off here. So
that continues to grow.
Yeah, and we're really excited. We rebuilt our website for the first time in probably 15 years. The Wings and Wheels website, and it's very interactive. Everything that you could conceivably think is out there on the website, including our QR code, our event calendar is out there. You can buy tickets to the show, you can register for the car show. The car show is about 50% right now of pre-registered cars of what we can handle. And we're hoping to, you know, registration will close on September 28th, and we're hoping that we can get as many pre-registered cars as we can. Next year, we are moving to only pre-registered cars for the car show. There will not be any drive-ins on Saturday, because we've been really trying to cut down on the amount of traffic and the craziness that ensues on Saturday for us. All of our parking is at Sussex Academy, and we have the Nanticoke Indian trams that they use for the powwow, and we have a course that we run, thanks to Todd, that goes right from the school to the airport drop off, and just a loop that they will constantly run in, just lots of great things that are happening. Our volunteer base, for the first time in a long time, I mean, from the chamber side, has dramatically improved, not having to pull. Last year I didn't have to pull from Rick, and I'm happy about that. And this year is looking to be just about the same way. But we're really excited about the website. We're really excited about everything that's going on and what we're bringing to the table. And so I think it's going to be a really great year.
If you're not familiar with Kirk Leipold, I'd strongly encourage you to read the book that he wrote. Saving the USS Cole, the sailors that were lost, and the extraordinary effort of he and his crew to save that ship, not let the terrorists win and sink it in harbor there in Aden. It's just an extraordinary, true story that you don't see very often anymore. So it's a hell of a book. And it's on Audible as well. It's a real, true, modern story of a real American hero and his crew.
We've been very lucky, and this is part of, you know, why I do what I do and why Larry does what he does. You know, we have been privileged to have so many of our, really true American heroes that have been here in Georgetown, have been at our event, and it's just really incredible that you, I grew up as an Army brat, and for me to be able to be this close to some of these people is just amazing to me and just very humbling. I'm just, you know, excited to see him come. We were lucky enough that one of the hotels is comping him his stay here for the weekend. And we've got the C-130 crew staying here on Friday night. So, you know, Scott's always in my ear about heads in bed. So we have seven of the C-130 crew staying, and then we have three of the Naval Academy midshipmen that are staying, you know, Friday night. The C-130 crew is Friday, Saturday. Kirk is Friday, Thursday, Friday,
I've got
Saturday.
Several that's coming into town that's staying in local hotels too.
Cool.
That we've, you know, they're paying for their own rooms.
Now, they need to check the website because there's deals out there from at least three hotels, Truba Hilton, the Hampton, and
I'll
then
pass it on because Pete and Sarah, you know, they got rooms at one of the local hotels. Maybe they'll cancel it and rebook.
Yeah, tell them to check out our website or if they want to call me because I've been making some deals with our local hotels, what we're doing, especially if we have special guests coming in.
And Linda, did you want to mention too, all of that, everything you just talked about, we're going to try to condense into like an event impact report that takes into account all the local economics, everybody coming in, rates at hotels. So it's going
to
be...
It's incredible. Scott, for those that don't know, all the chambers in the county apply for a grant through Southern Delaware Tourism, which really helps us a lot, especially with us for Wings and Wheels advertising because we advertise... As long as we advertise 50 miles in the 50-mile radius, outside of the 50-mile radius, we get a lot of our advertising and stuff paid for through this grant. But Scott gave us, when we had our meeting with him after we applied for the grant, one of the things that he provided, and I apologize for not having it, but he gave us some statistics of what we brought in that weekend, you know, relative to hotels, economics, you know,
local taxes.
I mean, I was quite frankly really I had no idea, had absolutely no idea that of what our little event brings in. You know, because I think about Sea Witch and all those other kind of really big ones. It isn't that little anymore, and it was a very big economic driver based on the numbers that Scott gave us. So we're doing the right things. And you know the fact that we're bringing so many people, and it's still, I tell Todd this all the time, it still amazes me that, you know, I mean, we're saying we're year 15, but it's actually 17 because we were canceled for a couple things, but it still amazes me that people don't know that this airport exists. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
for sure.
it's just crazy that every year we have somebody that said, oh my god, I didn't know that this was out here. So but we're doing, you know, we're doing as much outreach as we can. We appreciate everything that the county allows us to do, and we, you know, we try to take really, really good care of the airport space and making sure that our, you know, especially that our visitors that come out to the event are shown a great time, because we can honestly say, no matter what happens outside the airport, if we can get you to the airport on that day, you are bound to have a great time, because there's just so much to see. You know, our cars, we can, you know, based on spacing, we have it for 300. We have the potential of maybe eking out about another 15 on top of that, and we're quickly, even just with the aircraft that we have here at this airport, we're quickly approaching you know, the capacity there. Larry is working, about 10 years ago, if anybody remembers that, we had a formation flyover from Easton, and they're coming this year, but that 10 years ago when they did the flyover, they just really flew over, but they're coming, they're going to do a flyover, and then they're going to come to stay here for the event, and you know, that's because we try and give a lot of things for people to see. We have a kids activity area that's going to be set up. We kind of switched things around from last year, so we moved the food court over to the EOC building parking lot, so it'll be at the south end, and then everything else will go that way. We do have the kids' activities are going to be in the terminal building parking lot, and the tent will be set up there, the tables and chairs will be set up there, the entertainment will be there, We have, you know, for the first year ever, Great Outdoor Cottages is bringing out one of their units to put on display. So we're excited about that. So it just, you know, we're trying to, you know, the terminal building parking lot was a little bit too small for us for the food court and everything else that we had in there. Plus we had, you know, even though we try to prevent people from parking in there, they still park in there. And so it just created, you know, a problem for us last year. And as we do every year, we, you know, we do a debrief. We look and see what worked and what didn't work, and it didn't work there, so we're moving it over here. And we're doing certain things to not put any markings on the pavement. So we've got numbers on stakes instead. And so, you know, we learn every year on what we can and we can't do and what works and what doesn't work. And so we, you know, we just continue to do the best we can and to put on a really great event.
You mentioned something about, you know, there's so many people in this town that don't know there's an airport.
It's not just this town, it's like in this county.
That's part of it, but there's mm-hmm. an awful lot of people that do know this airport's mm-hmm. here. And maintaining good community relations for an airport is extremely important, because mm-hmm. the last thing you want is your community to fight you on what you want to do at the airport.
Yeah.
And I think the great majority of the people around this airport see this airport as their airport.
Mm-hmm.
And the only interaction they've had with this airport has been very positive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that, you know, you're looking over there and you're smiling because you recognize how important that is. You know, I was chairman of the airport commission over in Calvert County, and we were trying to build an airport. So many people didn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get that, you know, how an airport is so important to a community. It's part of the transportation infrastructure, and especially in like Delaware, it's got so few airports.
Mm-hmm.
And look how many airports of any size there are in Delaware. You can count them all in one hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, this event has been a community relations event, you know, that we started years and years ago. And so I think, you know, that is something we cannot underestimate, is how important mm-hmm. this event is to that community relations between the citizens of Sussex County and their airport, because the only experience they've had with their airport has been very positive.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Larry and I have always said about this event is we never, you know, unlike a lot of the festivals that are happening around, we never want to charge people a fee to come here. We charge for parking, but it's very nominal. We haven't changed it in the 17 years we've been doing this event. It's nominal at $5. We're actually even, you know, being able to take credit card payments this year, because people asked us last year, do we take credit cards? So we're able to do that for parking. That was something that Larry and I have talked about for a long time. It's just, this is a community event. This is our way to give back, and this is how we do it, you know. And we don't raise a lot of money, and what we do, you know, goes back to the museum, or pays for the Pathways to Aviation program, or, you know, some of the things that we give back to the community.
Fuel for the flying airplanes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Dustin, you know, thankfully had one of his vendors come through with a sponsorship for us this year. We're thankful for what we get, and we do the best with what we can, with what we have, to put this event on. Thankfully, with what we get with Southern Delaware Tourism, we're able to do, you know, a lot more. We had agita, I want to say, if everybody remembers that word, but something happened with some reporting, tax reporting, to the Department of Revenue, and it was going to significantly drop the amount of money that we received from this grant. And thanks to Scott's just dogged efforts, and found that there was an issue with reporting from the Department of Revenue, and now we are back to the level that we were at last year. So we're very thankful for that. Or it would have been a very huge challenge to put this event on.
Just to throw out one more thing about Kurt Leipold, he is a commercial rated pilot and mm-hmm. aircraft owner himself mm-hmm. too. I don't know, he may even be planning on flying over, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing he's doing some lectures today in Orlando.
Yeah.
So he told me he wouldn't hear back from him until this evening. But.
Mm-hmm. Happy to answer any questions.
What can the county do to help promote this more? Is there anything we could do?
Honestly, I will tell you, I probably would not ask the county to do much more than what they're already doing. I mean, you know, with Todd's help and, yeah, I mean, I have help from the engineering department and, you know, and other employees on the day of the event and things like that that probably nobody else sees other than what I see in the background. You know, our biggest thing right now is that we're trying to sell tickets for the car, for the show on Friday night. And so we're, you know, I've done anything and everything that I can. The caterer said he wants a count by Friday. and I said, I'm going to be hard pressed to give a good count because a lot of people, I think, wait till the very end. But I mean, just talk about it, just say what it's about. I would like to see, we finally got you out. John knows about this event. He's known about this event since when he was on the chamber board. So he was really behind this event. We haven't had any council people come out to our Friday night event, so you guys don't even know what we do out there. And my whole thing has always been about come out and see what we do at your airport. I mean, we take over this airport that weekend, and y'all don't even know what we do. And so that's a big thing, so that you can talk about what, I remember, I don't know if it was, I think it was Mike Vincent that came out here, and he was like, oh my God, I can't believe that all this is going on. Well, if you came out when we asked you to come out, every year when we asked you to come out, then you would see, and as this event grows, I think if you see what's going on, then you guys can talk more about it and can tell people, hey, this is a really cool event. You should be out there. And I think, for any of us, that's, word of mouth is what's going to get people out here. We can do all the advertising that there is out there, but unless you tell people what goes on out here, they won't come. So that's probably the best thing that I can say.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Anybody have anything else for Linda? Okay, thank you, Linda. Mm-hmm. That's great. All right, last on the agenda is public comments. Do we have anything from public?
Nothing new.
Okay.
Oh, can I say one thing? We do have swag this year for the first time. So we have 20-ounce tumblers. This was a picture that was taken at the airport with one of the car shows. It's great to hold, and it keeps things cold. I've had ice in here for 2 days. We also have hats that look like Panchito's hats, so that we're doing that for the first time. So we'll have, these things are on sale. You can buy them on the website.
Yes,
yeah,
on the website.
So.
Okay.
Bob, one thought I had, the Delaware Tech has their schools here for mechanical and for airframe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know anything about the kids, the men and women who graduate? Are they staying here in the county? Or is that not our jurisdiction? Or
I could probably get some statistics
for you on
that. I
will say they're probably not.
Yeah.
Ayla picks up a couple of them, but
yeah.
Ayla picks up a couple a year, but that's the rest are.
Yeah.
Who does?
Ayla across the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're struggling too, trying to find people locally to come out. That's been a big thing for my economic development group that I belong to is, Scott's going to be the chairperson of that next year. But it's keeping kids here. What is it that we can do to keep kids here? But even if you have, I remember when Northrop Grumman across, into Maryland was hiring, and they were tapping these kids 7-8 years ago and starting them at $80,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to find that here. And so those kids with that experience are going to go someplace where they can get that kind of big money.
Okay.
One of our volunteers down at the museum got interested in working on airplanes because his mother would bring him out here, and sort of dumping widows to babysit. He also got interested. Graduated high school and went to the A&P school. He's in the process of taking his exams, his practical exams right now, already has his job lined up. I think his starting, I think he told me it's $34 an hour is his starting salary right out of school, and could be earning up to double that in a period of just, I think, like 4 years once he gets his IA.
Well, I just,
you see the kind of salaries.
I bring it up only because it's on the airport.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
what kind of benefit is it bringing us? And
well, he lives here in Georgetown,
yeah.
And he's going to be working at Summit Aviation. That's where
I think it's great to have the school here, especially on this airport. I mean, you know, our claim to fame with that school is that we're training these men, women, kids, whatever, you know, to come out of that. And they are in demand. It's a
yeah.
great program, and
yeah.
they're very yes. much in demand. Maybe not so much here, only because of money, but they are in demand, you know. They will be a part of our Pathways to Aviation program, as well as Del State University.
Okay.
And so, you know, we're, you know, and starting with middle school kids this year, that's going to be a huge thing for that program, because the kid, you know, we targeted freshmen and sophomores last year after talking with the schools that we were, because we were hitting, trying to hit juniors and seniors, and they've already picked their pathway. The freshmen and sophomores that came were in awe of what was out there because they had no idea. And so if we can bring that to these kids, we have military, NASA's not coming this year, but we have, you know, the schools, we have Aloft is there, you know, military will be there, the recruiters will be there, some of the A&P mechanics from Dover will be in attendance. So we can show them just what is out there for them and the path that they can take to get there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right now, you can graduate high school, and let's say you don't have the money, or your parents don't have the money, just don't have the, maybe you didn't score high enough to get a scholarship to go to college, whatever, and your college is maybe not necessary in the picture. You go here to this A&P school part-time,
mm-hmm.
okay, because you can be out of there by 2 in the afternoon and still have a part-time job for 2 years and walk away and walk right into a job making 34, 40, you know, that kind of range with, you know, in 3 years into that, you can get your IA, because you got to be experienced for 3 years as A&P before you can get your inspection authorization. And then the sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of money you have to pay for an IA now?
It's pretty high, yeah.
Yeah.
Upper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
170, 180?
And all the airlines.
I've seen experienced IA's salaries offered more than my company is offering pharmacists.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
a 6-year college education, and these, you know, and so these kids who come out of high school can go to this program, work part time, finish the program up, and go into that kind of career, and they can work anywhere they want to right now. You pick your city, and you can get a job
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Well,
I
just knew this school was here, and I didn't know what kind of benefit was having on Sussex County, and you gave me a lot of information.
Well,
thank you.
Some may not stay in the county, but you know, we're taking our commitment, you know, as a response to that, our commitment is to the citizens of the county and helping them find, you know, career jobs that pays well. Even if they don't want to live in here, their parents probably still live here.
There's not a lot of opportunity for them here other than walked across the lane anyway,
yeah,
for someone coming out of school.
Point. We've developed 15 career fields that we talk about. And it's not just about being a pilot or a maintainer. Security, airport management, there's a whole plethora. And this year especially, we now have buy-in from the Director of Secondary Education, a number of principals that we've either taken up and flown. So getting the schools to really understand the potential under the STEM program, science, technology,
yeah.
engineering, and math, we are at a new level. And that's what we're going to do this year. Because last year we were in the classrooms for 4 sixth grade groups, eighth grade, that are now seventh grade and in high school. We talked to the high schools. This year we're gonna concentrate on a whole load of 5 different schools that, and some outside the county. And in the Young Eagles program, guess what? We have flown about 135 kids between here, our partnership with the EAA,
chapter here and the one in
Cambridge.
Well, we use Cambridge, but it's St. Mary's.
Yeah.
So we are really putting this in front of them as things to think about beyond.
And I think too, Ray, to your question too, I think if we give them the right education, there is a greater potential of keeping the kids here because a loft wants to expand. They have the room to expand. They just need the people, you know. So, but it also comes down to housing. It comes down to, you know, a plethora of other things. But
sure.
If we give the kids the right education, there are some opportunities for them here. Probably not as many as you'd have in another state, but I think things are getting better.
Well, and the only other thing I would add to that is COVID changed the rules, so there are so many potential where they can work from home,
mm-hmm.
and add to that as a multiplication factor.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things we're trying to get them to think about. And I haven't even addressed in a long-term discussion possibilities for these kids to fly drones as drone pilots. We all know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there's a problem with it, but we also know that the potential, the industry potential, is not very limited. So,
my son-in-law is a farmer. He's in Seaford. And just bought a drone,
yeah.
and is out of his mind busy
yeah.
with farmers calling him to spray
mm-hmm.
their fields.
Yeah.
And he needs people to operate it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly
it's
the message we're giving these kids. This is the thing
wow.
about all the integration of all these
yes.
possibilities.
Yeah,
because yeah, it's not just about becoming a pilot. There's so much more to the aviation field. So.
And then the final thing I would add is, we have created partnerships with a number of the schools and the CLIMB, AOPA, EAA, where there are whole programs that these kids can have access to that they don't even know about. Guess what? Schools don't know about them either.
Sure.
But they are part of the process of us educating them as well. So.
Was it 2 years ago the Washington Post did that story and they covered Pathways to Aviation?
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah.
Because they kind of had a lot of these takes we're talking about on it.
Yeah. That was our big claim to fame.
That's a great article.
National attention.
Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome.
You know, in referencing that, you know, we need to contact WBOC and both the local television stations and let them know about that, see if they'll cover it.
Well, they should be here with their helicopter.
Well, I'm doing WMDC tomorrow, and I've got two of my board members doing WBOC Del Marva Life tomorrow.
Okay, so, see if
they want
to come over.
They've got talking points.
Well, there's an end to Del Marva Life.
I think we might have an end there.
Yeah.
I do that on Monday.
It's
timing.
Timing's everything there.
Okay, if there's nothing further, I have a motion to adjourn.
Oh, we go to the next meeting.
Okay.
They'll let us know.
But I doubt we're going to want to do October. I mean, that's only a month away. November, the fourth Wednesday in November is Thanksgiving week. So I don't see that that's going to. And then the same with December, the fourth Wednesday is Christmas, the week of Christmas.
We're 3 months from Christmas already.
Yeah.
Should we move skip October, maybe move up November up a week or something?
And I can check, I'll check with, to see if we can get the room the week before. So you're talking like the
20th.
The 20th, November 20th?
Does that sound good to everybody?
Don't plan it around me, but I started a naval test pilot school the 18th of November, and I'll be there from 18 November, well, from 17 November until early December.
What's everyone's thoughts on the week of November 20th?
Yep.
Works for me. If it
works.
Yeah. Any problem?
Right now it does, yeah.
All right, we'll try it.
Okay, I'll see if we can get the room, and I will send an email out.
All right. Now can I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
That's right.
Thank you.
Hey, Bob.
You too.
Does the airport have a budget for sealing pavement cracks and stuff like that? They're starting to swallow up rocks.
We were talking about that coming in the door.
Kids.
They bought everybody.